Vino a San Bogo Giorgio, preso il traffico in cristianico, in pentecosto teologico e studio teologico, sembra di ritorno. Io mi ho la misceria.
Preso qua bene a San Bogo Giorgio, preso il traffico in cristianico, in pentecosto teologico, in the Trinity Theological Seminary in Ghana. Religion and the Machiavellian politics of defamation, charismatic Christianity, the media and democratic elections in Ghana.
I'd like to thank Professor Rosalind Hackett for mentioning me to the organizers and the organizers for accepting for me to be part of this conference. I'd also like to acknowledge the presence of my senior colleague and friend, Professor Elam Dolo, who actually introduced me to the academic study of contemporary Christianity. My paper examines an aspect of recent development, the relationship between religion and politics in Africa on the one side, and legal matters relating to copyright and defamation through the use of mass media on the other. The immediate context of the discussion is certain developments leading up to a public clash between Pastor Mensa Otabel of the International Central Gospel Church and political functionaries and members of the public sympathetic to the ruling National Democratic Congress of the Republic of Ghana. And this was in the run-up to the December 2012 presidential and parliamentary elections. The topic is handled as a preliminary study on emerging issues relating to the presence of charismatic Christianity in Africa, the appropriation of its very popular piety within various social institutions, including politics, and the potential conflicts that may arise as a result of the intersections of these issues within the African public sphere. The form of Christianity we examine here, particularly its charismatic leadership, has become very influential on the continent. Pastor Otabel established ICGC in 1984 and has over the years managed to form branches throughout the country and beyond. He is a gifted motivational preacher who emphasizes black empowerment. He uses the Bible to challenge hearers not to rely on government but to take their destiny into their own hands if they want to succeed in life. Apart from his mega-sized, virtual, middle-class congregation, the other most important evidence of his success is seen in the establishment of the Central University College in the late 1990s. In a little over a decade, CUC has grown to become the single largest private university in Ghana. Additionally, Pastor Otabel has a national appeal because of his media programs, Living Word, through which he addresses some of the basic challenges confronting particularly educated young people seeking to make something out of their lives and looking for the right motivation to do so. It is therefore not too difficult to understand why he can preach messages that challenge Africans looking for free things all the time to change their mindset. In using his voice in political campaigning, a Christian preacher who is supposed to be non-partisan was deliberately made to speak to partisan interests through the use of his media messages without his approval or consent. The paper examines the events and responses of the various parties involved in this drama in order to show how important contemporary Pentecostalism had become in the politics of democratic Africa. To begin with, Pastor Otabel had to be an important public figure for his sermons to be used that way. And in that sense, he is representative of the political significance of contemporary Pentecostal leaders in African public and political life. And Paul Gifford singles him out for commendation among Africa's charismatic pastors for his very practical sermons. The broad nomenclature, contemporary African Pentecostalism, African Charismatic Christianity, or African Charismatic Pentecostalism, is used interchangeably in my writings and are meant to take care of the fact that the movements in question are first, pneumatic in orientation, second, that they are found both in Africa and the African diaspora, and third, that they are African versions of a new global phenomenon. For the avoidance of doubt, the general characteristics of the churches I have in mind include a charismatic and well-educated, gifted, articulate, and professional leadership, mostly urban-centered, mega-sized congregation that are appeal to an upwardly mobile youth, and linked to those fashion-conscious and large dress codes for members, worship styles that are exuberant, emotionally laden, expressive and dynamic, innovative uses of modern media technology, extensive and evangelistic uses of media for advertising religious programs, and an internationalism that is evident in the names, choice of religious symbolism, and the worldwide peregrinations of the leadership. That in Ghana, secular corporate organizations such as Delta Airlines even sponsor the media programs of some of the movement's most influential leaders further underscores the public significance of contemporary Pentecostal Christianity on the continent. In the recent past, there have been advertisements by cell phone service providers for customers to subscribe to cryptic motivational messages from charismatic pastors, and phrases from their sermons are among the most popular color tunes for others. For the purpose of this conference on comparative practices, experience, and prospects relating to the interface between law and religion in Africa, my submission centers generally on these new Pentecostal charismatic churches and their role in Ghana's democratic elections. The fact of the matter before us are that the National Democratic Congress used bits and pieces of main sample tables' previous messages that have been published in electronic forms for their political campaign. This is itself not new, because the lyrics of gospel live music, either in their original form or with appropriate insertions, constitute some of the most lively political songs used in Ghana, and I believe elsewhere in Africa. Much of the material, as it later became evident, had been taken out of the original context, bringing into play issues relating to copyright and defamation, because even when Pastor Otabel protested through a press conference the use of his voice for partisan political purposes, this continued. Pastor Mensa Otabel, in his response to what he considered an illegal use of his voice, an aspect of his sermons, to gain partisan political advantage, went as far as to implicate the president, John Dramani Mahama, in the matter. In November 2012, Pastor Mensa Otabel had to call a press conference to literally chastise the ruling government led by President Mahama for the inappropriate use of his voice to support the campaign message of the ruling NDC that a free senior high school policy being promised by the opposition was not a feasible proposition when considered against the backdrop of Ghana's economic realities. In the run-up to Ghana's 2012 elections, it was the opposition MPP that set the agenda for the campaign by promising free senior high school education for all Ghanaians. Against the backdrop of an unproven belief on the part of the ruling government that Pastor Otabel favored the opposition MPP, a surrogate NDC group, Education Watch, pulled up certain sermons of Otabel in which he is heard warning against the dangers of free things, and which mentions free education in particular. "There can never be free education as long as we pay taxes," Otabel is heard to say on the tapes played on most radio stations in Ghana. In other words, the NDC was literally taking Otabel's name in vain by making him say things in their favor, regardless of the context of the message. Even more seriously, it turned out that the original message had been doctored with Otabel's voice from different tapes joined to make it sound as if these were fresh messages preached to indicate his support for the government. In other words, politicians used the message of a popular and important charismatic pastor to support their cause by taking his message out of context and making it sound as if he was commenting on the present campaign issue on the side of one of the competitors. Mensa Otabel reacted through a press conference in which he described the NDC tactics, among others, as Machiavellian and an infringement on his rights. Subsequently, He went on to preach a whole sermon titled "The Vote," which literally consumed the attention of the major political parties on how it affects their fortunes in the minds of those who admire Pastor Utago's bold, inspiring, practical, and motivational sermons. Even without a press conference, it was obvious that to make a Christian sermon say what it was not intended to say during a political campaign issue was unfair to the preacher. And for those who did not know that the messages were not new, Otago's image suffered greatly. By the time he came out to publicly denounce the use of his name for party political interests through campaigning, much damage had been done to his reputation. Pastor Otago had been verbally assaulted by members of the opposition through the print and electronic media. One NDC sympathizer described him as worse than Nebuchadnezzar, following his rebuttal of the party's approach to politics, using religion in the process, preaching his rights. "NDC is evil," was the caption of the story in which the Daily Guide newspaper reported the press conference called by Otago to respond to these developments. And in the press conference, Otago described the matter as defamatory. He said, "This is unethical, this is criminal, this is malicious, this is Machiavellian, this is evil. It's a violation of my person, and my integrity." At the press conference, he did not restrain his ill feelings towards those he said were taking his name in vain. I'd like to skip some of the pages and say, against the backdrop of these developments, that David Martin has argued that certain characteristics of evangelical Christianity generally, and Pentecostalism in particular, has bearings upon the character of any political presence. In much of Africa, Pentecostal charismatic leaders have acquired greater voices within public space. In non-Western politics, the presence of the evangelical fraternity in world Christianity is felt partly through the large numbers of people who may vote for candidates, vying for political power, and who may be sympathetic to their viewpoint. The bottom line in all this is the quest for power and divine intervention in African politics. Sometimes, different religious resources may be combined in the personal world of the politician to achieve certain goals. Charismatic pastors in Africa keep a very high profile because they have surmounted the barrier that saw personal wealth and fame as inimical to genuine spirituality. The liberalization of the media in African democracies has meant that the issues of religion and politics get discussed freely over the airwaves and the print media. The developments regarding the use of Pastor Otago's voice in a partisan manner by a leading political party constitute just one aspect of a larger issue in the relationship between religion and politics in contemporary Africa. For instance, the use of Pastor Otago's voice was only an extension of a phenomenon in which the songs and lyrics of leading gospel life artists in Ghana are used for political campaigning. The songwriters and artists in Ghana are now insisting on their rights by requiring parties to seek permission before the use of their songs, with some asking for financial compensation. On the issue of copyright, I'm told that it is against the right of a person for his or her published work to be used without permission if it had been previously registered. Charismatic pastors distribute their sermons widely on tape and through the internet and books. The books are covered by copyright, but electronic forms are usually not, and so are repeated on other platforms without fear of being sued for infringements. The issue of defamation arose with regard to the manner in which parts of Pastor Otago's sermons were allegedly pieced together by the NDC and used for purposes intended to portray him as supportive of the cause of a political party. By doing this, Pastor Otago may have been defamed because the impression had been created that he had taken sides in an ongoing political debate when in fact he had not. Whatever it is, the development has thrown up new issues in the relationship between the law and religion and politics that may require further investigation for education and future policy direction in the broader relationship between church and state in Africa. Thank you very much.